I want to share something that just impressed me during the time of worship. It actually perhaps provides a segue to on the message to. I just want to say to you, it's important to be persuaded about the Lord. Think of the Apostle Paul saying, I know and am persuaded. But there's things that it's important to just be persuaded about concerning the Lord. To be convinced about. James says, the one who doubts shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. So there's times where it's important for us to be persuaded. And persuaded, I think, about the Lord. If you ask me, I'm not persuaded about very many things about Roger. You quiz me long enough, you could make me doubt almost everything about Roger. But I am persuaded about things about the Lord. That he does all things well. That he's good. That he's exalted. Some of the things we just sang. So just however that might apply to you, take it for what it's worth. Just let yourself be persuaded about what's true, about what is so, about the Lord. Let that indeed be foundation upon which you stand. So segue a little bit to the message today, because this message is sit back and wonder about how things are. In that sense, it's not really super deep or just, so how do you think these things work? What's at stake? And what are the issues? And even there, perhaps, to come to be persuaded something about, you know, how the world is and how the Lord is in relationship to the world and what's going on. But just as times that it's important to be convinced, it's been times important to be persuaded about the Lord, and being unpersuaded perhaps leaves us in a place where we're not able to receive all that the Lord intends for us. So we're a little ways into a series on just what's coming, the future. And I'm going to do something that I didn't think I was going to do. I'm going to linger an extra week in one of the passages we're looking at. But you never know what tomorrow will bring anyway. So we're going to linger one more week in our 2 Timothy passage that we had last week. Passage where Paul says that what's coming will be times that are difficult. And he says the times that are coming will be difficult because of the way people are. Not necessarily you, but the kind of people that will be around us in the world, in our culture. Just, you know, the way that people will be will make the times difficult. Paul gives us a list of 19 things about how people will be. So there's 19 things on that list about how people will be. And because people are this way, somehow make the times difficult. That's coming. We noted that the list identifies both things that will be present in the lives and hearts and actions and words of people. And somehow when those things are present, their presence will make it difficult. But we also noted that the list identifies things that will be absent. 8 of the things on the list are just about something that's missing, or alpha privatives. We talked about that last week. Just this item is missing. And it's their absence that makes the times difficult. You can't appeal to something that's not there. And this is like missing in the hearts and perspectives and understandings of people. So both things that are present and things that are absent that'll make the times difficult. This is a fascinating list. So I want to explore it a little bit more. And I would like us to wonder, what about these things will make the times difficult? If people are this way, what about these things will make for difficult times? So Paul's talking about how people will be that we encounter out there. I think his concern is the influence that such things might have on us. He says in another place that he's concerned that we wouldn't be conformed to the world, but we'd be transformed. Paul is worried about our accommodation to things that are out there, our conformity to things that are out there, to the influence that things that are out there might have on us. So his main exhortation, we talked about this last week, is avoid. Avoid. Some things you need to stay away from in order that you don't find yourself conforming to them and accommodating to those things. But what might be the influence that these kinds of things would have on us if we encounter them out there? People are like this. You know, what would be the influence that such things could have on us? What is there to worry concerning these things? Why might these things make the times difficult? That's what I would like you to think about. The list is not a typical vice list. This is not the typical list of what's bad out there. If I ask probably anybody in this room, what do you think is bad out there? Most of us, including the scriptures, by the way, if you asked us what's bad out there, most of us would soon mention the sexual immorality and the sexual perversion so prominent in our world. We would say, what's bad out there? You know, all the bad sexual stuff. The Bible, by the way, does that same thing. Heading a lot of the lists are words that have sexual connotations and sexual overtones. Yet, there is not a single word on this list that's either explicitly or directly sexual. Not one of the 19. Again, sexual immorality, sexual perversion is prominent on many lists in the scripture. If you know what's in Romans 1, you know the prominence as Paul talks about the people being enslaved to sin and following pursuits of sin, how prominent the sexual is in that. But there's nothing on this list. A list about things that will make the times difficult that's explicitly or directly sexual. But there's other ways, too, where this list is not primarily focused on what's bad out there. This isn't really a list of things that, if you ask parents what are they worried about for their kids, that they would say very many of these things. I mean, this list does not highlight the violence in our streets. It doesn't focus on the abuse that occurs at home. It doesn't come down hard on acts of terror that occur in our cities. It doesn't call attention to pornography on the internet or the availability of drugs. It doesn't talk about the corruption that we find in our political system or in our economic system or our social environment. So it's not really a list of things bad out there in hardly any sense of that word. A lot of things on a typical vice list in the scripture or from other places, a lot of things on a typical vice list, there are usually laws against. And there can be laws against. You do the things on the vice list, you could get arrested. You know, you could commit assault, and then you could get arrested. You could steal something and get arrested. You could rape somebody and get arrested. You could have drunken disorderly conduct. You could disturb the peace. You could cheat on some contract. You could commit some act of violence. So a lot of things on a lot of vice lists, there would be laws against those things. And if you did the things on the vice list, you would be breaking the law and you could get arrested. But this list of 19 things, again, it's a list about how people will be that will make the times difficult. You could be all 19 of these things and not break any laws. I want that to interest you. I mean, you could love yourself. You could love money. You could be boastful and arrogant. You could be unholy and ungrateful. You could not listen to mom and dad. You could be reckless and treacherous. You could love pleasure and not God. You could be all 19 things and not be doing anything illegal. Nor, if you were the things on this list, would they exclude you from the job markets, from admissions to schools, from social circles. Nobody would be allowed to discriminate against you or limit you because of any of these things. They can't say, we're not giving you the job because you're an ungrateful person.
that would not happen.
You could get along in the world, you could be respected by the world, even if these things on this list are true of you as a person. In other words, you can be these things in the world and get along fine. You won't get in any trouble. You won't be breaking any laws. You won't have any doors slammed in your face. And, you know, it says no admittance, you know, to people like this. So I want you to hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that thought in a minute, that you could be this way and you get along fine in the world. So just hold that thought. And now I want to come at the list from a different angle for a second. I think we are to be people, and we are to live lives that would be unintelligible, that would be impossible without God. That's the kind of people I think we should be. We should be people who have lives, have relationships that are only possible if God exists. Not only if God exists, but if God exists and has done the things that he says he's done in the Bible. That without those things being true, that who we are and what we do wouldn't even be possible. If God has not raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the business you work at, if you work at a business, the school you go to, the stores you shop at, if God hasn't raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the business, the school, the stores, they may want to open their doors tomorrow. But if Christ has not risen from the dead, we should shutter our doors. If Christianity is true, what we know, what we share, what we know and share in our fellowship, in our koinonia, is not even possible if Christ has not risen from the dead. Because I believe that what we are to know, what we are to share, what we are to participate in is a foretaste of, in a participation in, what has happened because of Jesus Christ. And if that, in fact, has not happened, you know, what we're trying to share and doesn't even exist. Last week, I suggested that this list of 19 things, though it identifies and describes how people are out there in the world, how people around us will be, that it also identifies the people that we cannot be if we want to follow Jesus. These things do not get you in trouble in the world. The world does not have a problem with you if you are any of these things, but Jesus does. If you want to follow Jesus, these things will be hindrances and obstacles and blocks to following Jesus. So here's, in my opinion, part of why these things make the times difficult. Because the way people will be around us, the way people are around us, the way they are is accepted by the world, the way they are is worked with by the world, the way they are is approved by the world. The world is fine, you know, if people are this way, people that are this way don't get into any trouble. They don't run afoul of any laws. People can be this way, the way this list describes, and they can do fine in the arenas of the world, the roles of the world, the endeavors of the world, the pursuits of the world. It is indeed ways that many people are. And the world thinks for people to be this way is perfectly acceptable. But they are not ways that the people of the Lord can be. People can be the people identified by this list, yet, you know, they can still be an honor student and get into an elite school. You can be these things on the list, and just go look for videos of college students in Florida during spring break. Students at elite schools, they can be all these things. So being these things doesn't prevent you from being an honor student or getting to elite college. You know, you can be these kinds of things on the list. You can be CEO of a profitable company. You can be viewed as a talented leader. You can be these things and be a gifted athlete or a beautiful model that's revered by society. You could be these things and be a government leader who's writing policy champion human rights, you know, or wants to eliminate poverty from the social landscape. The world, in effect, says you can be this way, and we're okay with it, and you can still do life. You can fully succeed in the happenings and pursuits of life, being this way. I think the times are difficult because there are a lot of people that are this way. Being this way is common. Being this way is routine. And people who are this way, they experience no hindrance or reproach or sanction for being the way that they are. Yet they are not ways that we can be if we want to follow the Lord. That's what makes it difficult. But of course, that the world is okay if people are like that presents a constant suggestion to us that it should be okay if I am like this. You know, I'm like this and I got into the elite school. I'm like this and I'm a successful business person. I'm like this and I'm a revered leader. I'm like this and I give seminars or I do consulting. It shouldn't be a problem that I'm like this. Everybody else is okay with it. Jesus should be okay with it too. Nobody else seems to have a problem with it. The church should be okay with it. You know, the church should be okay with leaders who perhaps love money. What's the problem with that? But I think this list identifies ways that we cannot be. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be his people, if we want to be the church of Jesus Christ, then the world's completely fine with it. So that's kind of the first point I want to make about why I think this list identifies when people are this way, that it makes the times difficult. Because it identifies ways that you can be in the world and be fine, but they are not the ways that you can be in discipleship of Jesus Christ. So then I think Paul also in the passage identifies a couple other things that helps us understand why these things, these 19 things, make the times difficult. He makes a couple of comments after he gives this list. So I want to consider first the very last thing on this list, which is a little bit different, that holding to a form of godliness, though they have denied its power, and then two comments that he makes. So here's the three things. So the last thing on the list is holding to a form of godliness, though they have denied its power. And then Paul's comments, he says, these are people who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. So those three things, I think, also help us identify why the times get difficult when these things are present. So the first one, the form of godliness without the power. Godliness is about what's good. Godliness is about what's appropriate. Godliness is about what's fitting, about what's right. Godliness is when things are as they should be. As such, people seem to be concerned about godliness. I mean, you can't read the news. You can't, people don't pick up newspapers anymore, but you pick up the newspaper, if you open the internet, you can't see the headlines without hearing of somebody being outraged about something. Is that not true? People are outraged about all kinds of things. Outraged over something they don't think is right. They think it should be different. Constantly, there are demands for change. Demands that things be made right. So people seem to want things that are godly. They seem to want things to be right. But at least they're outraged when they don't think they are right, and they're making demands that they be put right. You know, it seems that they want things to be godly and upright and righteous. But of course, the power of godliness is God. usually those who are outraged, usually those calling for change, usually those who are concerned that it be made right, they don't have any room for God. They got the form. They don't have the power. They want a good life in a good creation, but they don't want the power and the goodness of the Creator who makes a good creation and puts goodness in it. So the form, you know, concern for what's right, for the righteous, for the good, for the upright, for the way things ought to be, for the appropriate, for the fitting. But of course, no room for the one who has the power to define and identify and establish all those things, namely God. So that's the first thing. We'll come back to it in a second. But the second thing is that there are things which can seem captivating, can seem exciting, yet don't make any real difference. Did you ever meet someone? So every time you meet the person, they're excited about something. You know, they're thrilled about something. They're exhilarated about something. Maybe it's a diet plan. They've just discovered this great, wonderful, gonna change my life diet plan. They're very excited about it, very exhilarated about it. It's always like they just found the best and greatest thing. But of course, they never actually lose any weight or get in better shape. Excited, enthusiastic, engaged. They will join the club. They will volunteer to help. They'll get out their checkbook and write checks because they're excited about it, engaged in it. But nothing really changes. They're excited about breakthroughs, yet they constantly remain stuck, never seem to break through. Each week, there's an enthusiastic embrace of the new and improved. But after many such happenings, you know, there's still nothing really new and nothing's really improved. They're still in the same place doing the same old thing. So that existence of things that are thrilling and exciting, people get enthusiastic about, they sign up, they join, they champion it, get the advertisement. But it doesn't make any difference. Never actually grow, never actually change, aren't transformed. We're always learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth that sets people free, that changes people. So there's the second thing that Paul, by his way of comment, says concerning these things. And then thirdly, he says this thing about Janus and Jambres. They were magicians in Egypt when Israel was enslaved in Egypt under Pharaoh. These magicians, they duplicated some of the early plagues by their secret arts. So Moses, by the power of God, turned water into blood. They, by their secret arts, turned water into blood. So they did some stuff, not by the working and power of God, but by human skill, by human wisdom, by human technology, by human craft. And it certainly was meant to leave the impression that the things of God are merely words for human ingenuity, human activity, human expertise. God is working. It's just code language for some sociological phenomena. God showed me is just religious language for I had an idea. That the supernatural power of God is it's really just smoke and mirrors, manipulated by some clever human person. This third thing that Paul says, this is the I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Comment. As if the portrayal of something, you know, the simulation of something is the same thing as the real thing. That you can portray something as meaningful, and rich, in full, in genuine, that you can simulate that it's precious treasure, that it has worthy content, that it has a glorious outcome. But portrayal and simulation are not the real thing. And it's really just foolish to think so. So it's possible, and one of the things that occurs around us, it's like the actor who portrays in the movie a meaningful, delightful, creative person. You know, in the movie, that's how they are. They're delightful and they're creative and they love life. They're enthusiastic about their role and they're productive and, you know, everything is meaningful. But behind the portrayal that they do in the movie, their own personal experiences, they're empty and they're depressed and they're despairing. Because the portrayal of it, you know, by an art, by craft, by human craft, is not the same thing as the real thing. I think these three things, the form without the power, the form of godliness, concern for what's right and good and upright and proper, etc., but without the power behind it, the power of God. Captivating and enthralling, but causing no difference. Now, a lot of sound and fury, and it signifies nothing. And trying to make the things of God into simply the magic of human ingenuity, human enterprise, human ability. Mistaking the human portrayal of something, the human simulation of something, for the real thing of God. I think those things are very common around us. They're very common in the world around us. But again, it's not how we are to be. It's not how we are to be as the Church of Jesus Christ. We are not to have the form and not the power. We are not to be people who are always concerned about the righteous and the upright and the good thing, but we don't have the power either. We just have the form, but we don't have the power. We are not to be that way. We are not to be people who are excited and thrilled, and we're doing something that's popular, and a lot of people are supportive of it, yet it doesn't make any difference. Everybody's learning. Nobody's coming to a knowledge of the truth. We are not to be that kind of people. And we are not to be the kind of people who just portray and simulate. Now, people, how do we make ourselves look like we're a people who are loving and caring? I have a secret art to do that. Maybe that wasn't, you know, you might have a better secret art than Roger's, you know. Big smile, hug, what a loving and caring fellowship. No, I actually can't stand your guts. I haven't thought about you or prayed for you. You know, I don't have anything inside about you, but I can simulate it. I can portray it. I'm a pastor, after all. I do the pastoral thing. I learn a pastoral vocabulary. So I simulate it and portray it by human skill, by human art. But it's not the real thing. It's not the thing of God. That kind of thing is prominent and common in the world around us. And it, of course, can creep in and we can accommodate to it. So in the last days, difficult times, Paul says, are coming. Why will those 19 things make the times difficult? Because there's a bunch of things that the world says it will be okay to be this way. The world doesn't say it's okay to be a rapist. The world doesn't say it's okay to be a thief. But the world's okay if you love pleasure. The world's okay if you're ungrateful and unholy. The world doesn't care about that. The world's okay if you love yourself. The world assumes that you love yourself. But there's a bunch of things that the world says it's okay to be this way. The world gets along fine with people who are arrogant, with people who are ungrateful, with people who are lovers of pleasure. It can seem to us Jesus should learn to get along with those people too. But there are ways that we cannot be if we want to follow him. And we really are supposed to have something that demonstrates the power of God. The world is content with the form, the shell, but deny the power. We are to be people where the power of God is actually present and working, active. We're supposed to have something that changes us, transforms us, makes a difference in our relationships. We're supposed to know some things that do indeed make us free. Not just things that are exciting, not just things exhilarating, not just things that you can get people to sign on to, things that change the human person, transform them from glory into glory into the image of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be people who have the real thing from God. Not an imitation, not a portrayal, not something that's done by human arts and technology and sociology and graphic arts and whatever. Well, we can pull it off. We're supposed to have the thing that's from God. Those things, very present around us, we cannot be that way. I think it makes the times difficult. Though I haven't given many specific examples, I hope you realize the church struggles with these very things. We struggle. Can we be the Lord's people and ourselves be this way? Have these things in our heart? These things in our mind? Can we be people who just had the form? As long as we polish it and it looks good, but don't have the power. Can we still do church, even if people are learning and never coming into a knowledge of the truth? We'll just do an elementary session one more time. As long as the room is full, we want to try to be the church and be able to have people always learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. The church struggles with portraying it by human art, by human skill, rather than it being the power of God. You can start with me. I'm going to be a great communicator. Just in case I don't have anything from God, you'll still think I'm a great communicator. Nothing to communicate, it won't help you at all, but it will have fun, and it'll be impressive, but it won't change us, and it won't be the genuine thing from God. So the church struggles with these things. I hope you know that. So the whole message perhaps comes down to, it's a challenging and it's a difficult thing to be different. It can be hard to say no to the chocolate sundae, can't it? But it's even harder when you're in a room full of people and everybody else has said yes. And then it comes to you. So do you want a chocolate sundae? Everybody else is having one. Well, I wasn't a diet, but no. Yeah, of course I do. So when this stuff is all around us in the world, Paul worries about its influence on us. It makes it difficult to say, you know what, following who I'm following, I can't be that way. No, it's okay for lots of others. They get along fine being that way, but where I'm trying to go, who I'm trying to follow, it doesn't work. Makes it difficult. Difficult because the world says it's okay to be this way, because Jesus says my ways are different. So I hope that stirs your thought about that list. Again, it's a fascinating list. And about Paul's comments afterwards. And it makes you content to know that you have resources because of the grace of Christ to be a different kind of person, living a different way. It's necessary. Not because the world demands it, because the world expects it. Not because you need to be different in order to get along in the world. You need to be different in order to be the church of Jesus Christ and follow Him. It's difficult. Lots of folks being the way they are. So I hope that stirs your thought. And if it doesn't, I apologize for doing 2 weeks on one author. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's you who have placed us in the world. Placed us in the world to be light, salt, bear testimony, Father, to you and to Jesus Christ. Father Hugh has sent us there with good news. Father, we ask that you would teach us, work within us, empower us. Father, that though we are in the world, we are not of it. That the way the world is, the way the world thinks is fine, the way the world is comfortable, Father, that we would learn to be different kind of people because of you and because of Christ. That what's inside of us, that what we display in our relationships, Father, that what we seek and what we love, what we pursue, what we know in our fellowship, Father, that's all different because of you. Father, help us not to be conformed, Father, to the world around us, but to be transformed by the things that we see. See when we fix our eyes on Jesus. Father, it's in his name that we pray. Amen.